Well, listen, today, Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Haley send you their love. They're traveling a little bit with spring break, be back with us next week. But while they're not here today, Pastor Jeremy has asked one of the gifted teachers in our church to be able to come and speak with you today. And so I just encourage you. She is such a teacher. You'll notice your note sheets on your chairs around you. Because she is a real teacher. But we are so grateful to be able to have her voice in our house and to be able to receive from her teaching and from what God is sharing with her in her heart. So if you would give your attention and focus over to Miss Lori Taylor.
Good morning. All right. So today we're going to be going on a journey. We're going to figure out first what our desired destination is, and then we're going to figure out what it takes to get there. And one of the key elements in what we're going to talk about today is to make sure that we understand the difference and the depth and the wonder of mercy and grace. So if you will play that video.
So mercy is not getting what I deserve to get when I pulled over for speeding again. But I didn't get it. That's mercy. Let me tell you about grace. Grace would be, I get pulled over. I deserve the ticket. The police officer goes into his wallet, pulls out the money, pays for it on my behalf, and then doesn't stop there and gives me absolutely everything else that he has and hands it to me.
Better than you can imagine. Because it's not just given when you're good and well-behaved. It's given when you deserve the exact opposite, and you not only don't get it, you get something good. That's grace. It's amazing. When's the last time it was sweet to the sound for you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Maybe you can just take it back for a second. That saved a wretch like me. I once, this is my testimony, was lost. But by his grace, I am found. I was blind, couldn't see, and now I see. How sweet is grace. So mercy is not getting what you do.
So do we have it? Grace what Jesus gave us by submitting to the cross. Not only do we not get what we deserve on the daily, but he paid the entire price, plus he gave us everything that he is to make use of. So you have to understand this on this journey we're going to make today. And I know most of you in here have not heard the 23rd Psalm lately, right? Right? Okay, so as I prayed about this, this is where I had to start. So evidently, y'all and me and everybody else needs to hear the 23rd Psalm again. Let me tell you, before I get into it deep, this sheet of paper, you can use it or not, you do you. But the one side is the scriptures written down that I'm going to go through. And the back side is something that we're going to read together when we finish. Okay? So use it or not. All right. So the 23rd Psalm, 1 through 6, in the Passion Translation. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to talk through it. This is going to give us an overview of where we need to go on this trip that we're all taking. Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace near the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the right path and leads me along in the footsteps of righteousness so I can bring honor to his name. Even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, Fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of. Notice that it says of you, not from you. He's not handing you something. Of you. Until my cup overflows. So why would I fear the future? Only goodness and tender love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. All right, so we're going to go back through this and pick out the things that we need to know on this trip that we're taking. Life is a trip. Like, I feel like I want to sing, "Life is a highway," or something like, you know. There's a song for everything, right? Okay, so where is it in here that we want to go? You have to plan your destination, right? We want to go to his resting place. And this resting place, when you, y'all, most of you know, I look up all these words and want to know the depth of them. This resting place is not just a place to visit. It is a home that he has prepared that is full of rest and full of peace. So that's where we want to go. And in this resting place is in, he gives us a clue to where we find this. It's in his luxurious love. This word love here is agape, and that's a word that's out of two different words, and it means a shepherd leads you there, and it's a place of perfect rest. If we're going to be honest today, how many of you feel like you're well rested? Oh, good. Some people raise their hands. Good. I'm glad you're well rested. I can't. That's not my testimony today. My body is not well rested. My soul, you know. Ask me again tomorrow. Okay. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace near a quiet path, near the quiet brook of bliss, if I could just read. And the next words says, that's where. So if he points out something, you need to pay attention to it. That's where he restores and revives my soul, my life. That place of rest and peace that he leads us to is the place that he does the work that needs to be done in our hearts, in our lives. And that word restore means that he builds you up. He cuts things out of your life. He brings wisdom. He fetches you home. That's the word. A good Southern person must have written this. He fetches you home. He rescues you. And he spins you around so that you're pointed towards his path. So you stay in this place where you need to stay. Now, when we're going on a trip, we need to know not only where we're going, what's going to happen when we get there, but why are we going there? And we find this in verse 3 that says, so I can bring honor to his name. That's the reason. His authority is my strength and my peace. And if we get down to the bottom of this verse, we see that his tender love pursues me all the days of my life. That word pursue is a picture word like a lot of the other Hebrew words. And it's a picture of a dog on the scent of a prey. Like a dog chasing a rabbit. Can y'all picture that from West Tennessee here? What that looks like? This is what God does to you. He is chasing you down like a dog chases a rabbit to make sure that you stay in this place, in this luxurious love wrapped up in his heart. What are we going to eat and what are we going to drink while we're on this trip? Well, We got this here too. Verse 5 says, you become a delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. What we're going to eat is we're going to internalize him and his presence instead of internalizing what we see with our own eyes, what we hear, what we feel, what's going on in the world around us. And not only that, he's going to satisfy our thirst as well as we drink of his spirit. Like I said, it says of him, not from him. This is not something he's given with his hand. This is him. This is us being filled up by his presence. Okay, so what else do we need to know about this trip? Who in here's got some baggage? You gonna take some baggage along on your trip? I got some baggage. I think everybody's got some baggage. We've got some habits. We've got some things that are taking our focus away. We're internalizing some things around us, things people say, the world, whatever. We're drinking in of things we shouldn't be drinking in of. We have all this stuff that is with us, and a lot of it we don't even realize are things that have stuck to us. So now we know where we're going. We could type it into the Googler or, you know, to the Waze app or something like that. But we need to know a little bit more about how we're going to get there. Let's go to Proverbs 4:20 through 27. This says, listen carefully, my dear child. Okay, when he says listen, oh, that perks my ears up. To everything that I teach you and pay attention to all that I have to say. Here's one thing you need to know about getting to your destination. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Choose what you're going to think about. We're going to talk more about this in a little bit. But that's your first thing that you need to do, is to choose what you think about. On your little sheet there, I've got all these verbs. For me, I like to make lists about what I have to do. And so if you want to fill in what goes with those verbs, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Okay. Then the second verse 22 says, then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the core of your being. So we take in his words until they saturate us. And the next day, and the day after that, and all the rest of the days of our life, we unwrap that same word, and as we feast on it, we see more and more and more nuance, and it is exactly what we need to nourish us. Okay, so we're going to chew on it and unwrap it again and again every day. And then we're going to have the expectation. And it's important, guys. Most of what I'm talking about today is the choices that we make. Because the only choice you have in all this is to submit yourself to Jesus. You have to say yes to him. And then we have to choose to have our mind, will, and emotion, our spirits line up with him. And we do that by making some moment-by-moment choices. The next verse says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart. And your heart there is your mind, your will, your emotions, your understanding, your passions, your reasonings, and your courage. Guard your courage to make the right choices moment by moment, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellsprings of life. Avoid dishonest speech and pretentious words. Be free from using perverse words, no matter what. Set your gaze on the path before you. So there's something else that we have to do. We have to make the choice. This doesn't happen automatically. God doesn't lead us around with a crook on our necks, making sure that we stay on this path. We have to set our gaze and make a choice moment by moment to stay in the way that he has set. With fixed purpose, looking straight ahead, ignore life's distractions. Okay, so this is, I'm going to go to meddling just a little bit here. That word distractions means wounds, offenses, and I know we've all experienced those kind of things. It also means heavy weights that we are willfully carrying around and holding close to us with our arms. If you're holding a big bag of laundry close to your body and you don't need to be carrying it around, what are you going to do? I'm going to make a choice to open my arms and let it fall. He says that's exactly the choice we have to make. We have to open our arms and let it fall. And I know how difficult that sounds. We're going to talk a little bit more about what God has given us in a little bit in order to be able to do those things. All right. So Proverbs 5:21 through 23 says, "For God sees everything you do, and his eyes are wide open as he observes every single habit you have." Anybody got any habits they wish they didn't have? I do. "Beware that your sins don't overtake you and the scars of your own conscience don't become the ropes that tie you up." Let's unpack that, okay? We want to beware that our sin doesn't overtake us. But all of those things that we have held on to from the past, those scars in our hearts, those things that we keep rehearsing in our heads about, but I'm not worthy because you don't know what I did. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've been through. Those things, God did not make that to bind you up. This word says those scars and those past hurts can become ropes that literally tie you up and keep you in bondage. "Those who carry wickedness die for lack of self-control." Where's self-control come from? Holy Spirit, that's right. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's a little, if you went to a Baptist church, you know that. "For their foolish ways lead them astray, carrying them away as hostages. Kidnapped captives, robbed of destiny." Y'all, this is so serious. This is very serious. And it's not a topic to feel condemned about. This is exposing a lie that the enemy has told to a lot of us, that whatever the past was, whatever the sins are now, disqualify you, and that's going to keep you from your destiny. But God says, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. "I have placed gifts and callings within you." When you receive Christ as your Savior, when you say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I am a sinner and I am in need of a Savior." At that moment, he imparts gifts and callings into you. And all of this bondage is not of him. So we can let it go. I know if Lucy was in here, she'd start singing, "Let it go, let it go." Okay. So the thoughts that we think moment by moment are usually the things that perpetrate these ropes that bind us up and keep us away from our destiny. Let's read 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. "For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish and that we means you, you can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow down in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Okay, there's a lot in there. I know there's likely some people within the sound of my voice that are thinking, yeah, I don't have any spiritual gifts. I don't have any. This doesn't pertain to me. But God says it does pertain to you. It is a process of choosing who you're going to believe and taking steps to moment by moment live in that. I know some people say, but you don't understand. I can't control. I worry all the time. It's just these invasive thoughts that just keep coming in my head. I'm fearful. I think of conspiracies. I think people are out to get me. I'm self-destructive. I'm self-deprecating in the words that I say. I've got addictions, all of those kind of things. But when you have received Christ, you received his grace that lady talked about earlier. You have received the totality of the payment for everything that you did, are doing, and are going to do. And you've also received the spiritual gifts and the callings, which will provide a way to find freedom, regardless of what your story is. I know some people think that, but I've done so many bad things even since I became a Christian. That's going to get taken away. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and call are irrevocable." The Bible says, ain't nobody going to take it away. Ain't nobody can take it away. Nobody is big enough and bad enough to snatch from you what God provided for you. The word gifts literally means grace. And the callings means an invitation to the feast. And what are we feasting on? Jesus, on him. We're taking in his presence. We're taking in who he is. We're taking in his abilities even. That doesn't make us gods by any means. But there is so much more that we allow our thought processes to keep us from operating in that God intends for us to be able to function in. He wants us to be completely free. So how do we do this? James 4:7 says, "So then, surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. Move closer to God, and he will come closer to you." This is all about literally making the choice moment by moment to stay on that path that he has spun you around and pointed you in that we read about in the 23rd Psalm. Literally, that's what it's about. Now, it is a very difficult thing sometimes. And when you start to come against what the enemy has talked you into for years, it's not going to be easy. But is it going to be worth it? Would freedom from whatever has come to your mind, would that be worth whatever it took to get there? It would be. Romans 6:20 through 21 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. I'm going to ask you a question. Think about what's come to your mind about your past, about your present, about what you're thinking about doing, whatever. What benefit do you get from that? If you have trouble with fear, if you have trouble with worry, if you have trouble with addictions, if you have trouble with whatever it is there a benefit to that? The only perceived benefit I can think of is this: what I'm comfortable with. But being comfortable is not being free. It is not. Sorry, I got to turn here. I know at times we have thoughts. We might even say, well, you don't realize I've had trouble with this all my life. Or it runs in my family. Or something like, I'm too old to change now. Or I'm scared to fail again. I'm just not willing to try. Let me expose for you something that the enemy does not want you to know. And this is a roadblock in this trip that we're taking that needs to be gone around quickly. Joshua 24:14-15 says, now therefore worship Yahweh with holy awe and serve him in authentic love and loyalty. Remove from your hearts every false god to whom your fathers bowed down. I'm going to stop there for just a second. Remove every false god to whom your fathers bowed down. Now, there are lots of theories about why we do the things that we do, why certain addictions run in certain families. Some people call them generational curses. Some people call them genetic propensities. And don't get me wrong, we live in a fallen world, okay? These bodies, the cellular structure of these bodies have been adulterated throughout the year. So there are genetic propensities that cause people to have more trouble with certain things. But was that God's design? It was not God's design. If it's not God's design, that can be overcome. There are so many people that I've talked to, and I've done it myself. I've said, well, but that's what I thought about myself all my life. Or my dad always said, you're not going to be anything. You're not going to, you know, you're disqualified from whatever it is. Or your mom said that. Or you heard things at the dinner table like, well, in this family, we all have trouble with this. Or you've watched your parents and your grandparents struggle with fear or worry or whatever the things are. Those are false gods. Those are controls over your body, your mind, your spirit, your generations that God did not design. And so those can be overcome. Yes, I'm telling you, there's no shame in needing to have medication for certain things, needing to have counseling, needing to have whatever it is that you need to have to help you get there. But your part in that is to choose today and tomorrow and the next day and all the days of your life to make a choice to lay down those things and not receive what God did not give you. There's research that shows that it takes about 21 days of consistent change to break a habit. Now, habits that you've had lifelong, that may take longer. It's it's going to be a fight because the enemy has been watching us ever since the fall, right? He's been watching how humans behave. He listened to your parents before you were even born and knew, oh, I can slap this on them. I can put this in their ear. I can make this generation fail with this thing. But I don't know about y'all. I'm just going to say something. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know? It's the things that so easily beset us, we don't have to live in. This world has enough of turmoil and of things that bring us down. We have to be different. God set you free the moment you received Christ, and you have to walk in it. I have to walk in it. The battle is for your heart and your mind. And today we're going to worship a little bit. I want you to talk about, I want you to talk to God. As you worship, whatever. And make a decision. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods that your fathers bowed down to? Or are you going to say, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm making a change. The generations won't be the same because I'm drawing a line in the sand. There'll be some leaders that are willing to pray with you if you want prayer. This does not need to be condemnation in any way. This is not about pointing out any of your flaws or sins or anything. It's about exposing what the enemy has been trying to do to meddle in things he had no business in, because his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And I don't want you destroyed. Okay? So we're going to worship, and then we're going to make a declaration, any of you who want to. It's on the back of that paper after we get done there.